Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 36 of the Peak of Serenity podcast. I am one of your hosts, Emilson, and as always, I am joined by Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we are looking forward. Pre-patch is coming soon, and we are going to be spending today's episode kind of going through what everyone can expect to come during the pre-patch for Shadowlands. But before we get into that, we want to spend some time, as usual, and talk through what happened in the past week. What happened, Anom?
A little bit of stuff this week, I think. I think the big thing on a bunch of people's, at least a bunch of top bunch of people's minds, right, is we did get another blue post. I think it was now our like third or so, right? That went over really a lot of Windwalker changes. They got another ability taken off the global cooldown and Energizer Elixir. They got some changes to, spinning Crane Kick. The big one, though, is they did get a redesign on Weapons of Order, which I think is interesting. So Weapons of Order now for Windwalker will now, for the next 30 seconds, increase your mastery by 13%. And Rising Sun Kick reduces chi cost by 1 for 5 seconds. And then Blackout Kick reduces the cooldown of effective abilities by an additional 1 second over the course of those 30 seconds, I believe. So seems like they've saw the error of their ways in terms of the whole original portion of it. So, that's a big change, I think, for Windwalkers in terms of Weapons of Order. Probably makes it usable. I don't know how usable, but
it sounds like it really is just going to make the rotation a little bit faster for that time period. Yeah. You'll be able to Rising Sun Kick more often because of the Blackout Kick reducing the cooldowns more, but also you will be able to Blackout Kick more and, use your other chi spenders more because of the reduced chi cost. It won't let you use Whirling Dragon Punch more, which I think is maybe a little bit awkward. Like, it doesn't just, effectively give you a bunch of haste, but it does kind of give you haste in a very roundabout, partial, incomplete way.
Right. Yeah, so that's, I think, good change for them. I don't know how powerful it ends up being at the end of the day, but good change. And then the other Covenant change was to the Feline Stomp ability, so the Night Fae, which basically now when you use it, it deals sort of damage or healing if you're a Mistweaver, right, immediately upon cast in sort of an area in front of you, and then it will continue to damage those enemies that are caught in the Feylines themselves, but the healing is no longer dictated, at least for Mistweaver, right? The healing is no longer dictated by the Feylines themselves, which is actually a buff, right? It becomes a much more targeted and less random spell to use. So,
right. Yeah, that's really huge because previously, for those that weren't aware, if you had some mobs in front of you and you got one of the Feylines that curves out to the side, you could just miss half of the things in front of you because of where the Feyline went. Now, it will always hit the things in front of you, but also you will get bonus damage, the ticking damage over time from the things that are in the Feyline. And if you want to take advantage of that, if you are a Brewmaster, you can try and reposition the mobs into the Feyline to take advantage of that ticking damage.
Exactly, yeah. And then something that, I think that's a good change. I think it actually pushes Night Fae to usable for Mistweavers at least, right? Not usable, but probably one of the better ones, if not the best, depending on how Fallen Order is still hands down. I don't know if that's still across the board for all the different specs, but Fallen Order is still hands down the best one. But with how good it is, there's the potential, it looks like it's potentially getting nerfed, right? At least that's the expectation.
Isn't there currently a bug with Fallen Order where the monks last too long?
They last too long. So it's not correct the way that the tooltip reads their durations. Even I think their spawn rates are different than what the tooltip sort of suggests. So there's those type of bugs. And then I think just in general, they're probably slightly too powerful in terms of the amount of healing and damage they do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're like double dipping haste, right? So they can gain, I think they can gain heroism, but then they also will, they don't snapshot. Yeah, they'll gain from your heroism. So they double dip there. Yeah, some wonky stuff. There's also some like bugs in the way they spawn. So if you don't, if you spawn them on a platform that moves, sometimes they will not spawn because like the point at which they should be spawning at is no longer like a valid spawn location.
Wonderful.
So yeah, so there's some weird stuff like that. So there's still some bugs around it, but in general, if it doesn't get touched, right, in terms of sort of bug fixes or tuning, that's probably the best one. But
yeah.
Nightface still is now up there, right? So
if it doesn't get touched at all, I think, yeah, that one's just going to be the best one. I can't speak for Windwalker. I think it's also the best one for Brewmaster for a raid scenario because you just want to pick the thing that does the most single target damage. And right now that is Fallen Order. None of the Soulbinds matter. The conduits basically don't matter. You're legendary. You can do with any covenant. So really you're picking based off of the covenant ability. And right now that means Fallen Order. Assuming they fix it, I don't know where we stand, honestly. We don't have Sims together yet, I don't believe, or at least I haven't seen any yet, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, some good changes there. They've also, speaking on Covenant abilities, they've also fix the bug that we all knew was a bug, but we didn't know because it lasted for the last 6 months with Bone Dust Brew. In that it no longer cleave heals like your Vivifies, right? Which I think was happening across every spec, right? So the idea this the issue was if you hit Bone Dust Brew on anyone, and then no matter what monk spec you were, you then casted Vivify on a target, it would replicate that Vivify heal on any person who had been hit by your Bone Dust Brew. So essentially, Bone Dust Brew was absolutely ridiculous on any fight where you could clump up at least a couple of people for Mistweaver, and to be fair, even for, you know, Windwalkers and Brewmasters, if you guys want to get on the healing game, it could be very powerful. So they have fixed that bug, which, to be fair, I think Dobbs made a comment, I think the week before, like last week, that was like at this point, Bonus Brew, I think it's just the way it's supposed to be. So it's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. And then, like,
and then they fixed it.
Yeah, like less than a week later. So after like for months being like, it's a bug. It's, yeah. So that was funny. But yeah, so finally. Finally got the changes in for that. So, and there's been a couple other bug fixes. I don't know off the top of my head. I know Abbe went through, at least on the Mistweaver side, and updated his sort of rolling post. But I mean, we're seeing bug fixes for things we have. And yeah, we're seeing some tuning, some changes that generally seem good. You know, I think people still up in arms about, you know, why Windwalker are the only ones to get the post. But I mean, I think every spec, at least in the monk world, right, got some sort of changes. So
yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think there's anything else on the blue post or items here.
Yeah. We also got that we got an announcement that pre-patch is coming. No date attached to it.
We did.
No idea when pre-patch is coming. For all we know, it could be this Tuesday, Wednesday, which by the time you're listening to this episode could mean literally tomorrow. That seems a little bit unlikely to me, but it could happen because they didn't tell us when. A lot of people are expecting now that we're going to have a very short pre-patch and we will get it, what is it, October 6th?
6th is the next Tuesday, yeah, 6th and 7th.
Which would give us 3 weeks of pre-patch. The pre-patch event that we're going to talk about in a little bit is 2 weeks long. So that is a week of, you know, the pre-patch event, just like being able to catch up on it if you didn't get to play through the whole thing in the first 2 weeks. But it's very short for a pre-patch.
I think it ends up being, I was talking to some of the guys at WoW, it ends up being, I think, the shortest pre-patch ever. If it's the 6th, I think it'll tie, what was it? Maybe it was Wrath or BC or something like that. But yeah, if it goes beyond the 6th, it'll be the shortest ever. So, yeah, it's not a lot of time, but to be fair, pre-patch event, which we'll talk about, not a lot of stuff to do. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, kind of in line with that. So, but yeah, I think people are expecting the six just because they talked about the PvP stuff. Generally, it's 2 week up, like 2 week heads up that the PvP season's ending has been their standard. But yeah, nothing's really been standard with this expansion. So, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully, it's not this week though. I'm hoping for the sixth. So,
I don't know, man. I kind of want it to come this week.
Too early. Because if they push it this week, that means the expansion is definitely happening at the end of October, and I'm still holding out for that date to move.
Okay. So. Okay. All right. That's fair. You know, I'm actually right there with you. Like, as much as I'm ready for corruption to be dead and gone, I really don't want to be dealing with Azerite 2.0. So.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. And then, yeah, I think the other thing that happened this week after this post is they did test two more bosses. Both Council and Sun King got tested on Mythic this week. These are retests, right? So they've already, I believe they've tested both these bosses already. We did an episode with Peo Panini a couple weeks ago, talking through basically every boss here in Castle Nythendra?
Nathria?
God, dude, I'm bad. So if you want to kind of hear back on our thoughts there, I don't think they've changed much between the two of them.
It's a lot of bug fixing and maybe some changes to the ad spawn patterns on Sun King.
Yeah. So it'll be so just more testing. I mean, I didn't get a chance to do it this week. Some of the fixes.
Council, that's Council of Blood, right? Hang on.
Yeah.
They might have actually made substantial changes to that, but I don't have beta and wasn't paying attention and do not know, actually. So.
Yeah, I know just some of the like anecdotes I picked up were that it's a pretty boring healing fight. If you read into what Max was, I think Max tweeted from Limit that, you know, maybe a couple of tweaks to Council and this might be the best opening tier of any sort of expansion in terms of raid bosses and fight design and stuff like that. So I think in general, you know, the overall idea is that these fights are solid, you know, Panini, and I think sort of explained like they're solid 90% of the time, like 90% of the fight is great. And there's like a 10% that sort of holds them back from being amazing or whatever that next sort of level is. So, you know, more raid testing, more bug fixes. I'm not worried about the raid, I will say. Like the raid could launch in October and I'd be fine with it, right? It would be good. The rest of the expansion, you know what I mean? We'll see. So
right. Then we also got another blue post.
This one was buried, by the way. I didn't pick this up at first.
Oh my gosh. So bonus rolls are going away in Shadowlands.
I love it.
Now I want to read a little bit of their explanation. So first off, I want to mention loot quantity overall is reduced pretty substantially in Shadowlands. So the reduction of systems like bonus rolls that give you extra loot is not altogether surprising. Now, there is still a little pants on head in the blue post that I do want to point out. So here's this quote. Bonus rolls no longer exist, and the Great Vault captures the value they used to provide to raiders. Now, the Great Vault is the weekly cache that we talked about pretty extensively last week. The Great Vault does not, in any sense of the word, capture the value that they used to provide to raiders. Not even a little bit. We have melee in our raid group that have been bonus rolling specifically Raden, 4 months. And you know what? The Great Vault doesn't let them target a specific boss to try and get a specific item. The Great Vault gives them 3 random items every week to pick one from. Are the odds pretty good that they get one that they want eventually? Yes. Are the odds pretty good that you get the right corruption eventually? Also, yes. Are the odds pretty good that you get a max Titan Forge on a good item eventually? Yes. None of that is the same as bonus rolling on a boss you need a specific item off of. That's a really dumb explanation. and they should feel bad for giving it to us.
I'm gonna take the opposite stance on this one. I think I agree. Like maybe the term value can be misconstrued, right? But the underlying idea, right, is that it gives you a chance at additional loot over the course of a week, which is exactly what bonus rolls did. Now, is a little bit more random, yes, but you also get one extra item, assuming you finish the raid, right? Assuming you do your 10 bosses every week, you'll get one extra item. You'll get three instead of two from a bonus roll perspective. And technically, you get three chances instead of one in terms of ice, because I guess you could, well, in a mythic sense, you get three chances.
In a mythic sense, you get only ever bonus roll once.
Right. So, I mean,
what I would like to see really, like, I think from a like quantity of loot perspective, this is fine. My real issue is just that they keep putting these really, really hugely valuable items into the raid that if you don't have, you're basically like operating at 90% capacity, and nobody wants to be in that position. And so there's a real incentive to try and get that item. And removing bonus rolls removes an additional way that people could try to tailor their loot towards those specific items that they wanted.
Yeah, but I think, to be fair, I get that, but I think bonus rolls created a situation where people think they deserve to have an extra chance at loot on a boss, right? So if the idea here is that we're taking a step back from Shadowlands and the way that the game is operated since really bonus rolls have been put in place, and basically saying as players or as a game, right, you get a shot, in this case, two shots, right? We could say at loot per week from the instance you're doing. It's very similar to the way the game operated back in, you know, vanilla, you know, class, whatever you want to call it, right? BC era type things where, you know, if you wanted a Perdition's Blade, you got one shot at it in MC a week as a rogue, right? And so you either got it or you didn't.
Defend that system, though. Like, okay, sure, on the average case, it was fine. You got it. It didn't take that long. But there's still, like, this, and this is something that they've struggled with for, like, multiple expansions now, and has been the source of a lot of complaints. They're really bad at dealing with outliers. They are not giving us means to reduce the gap between outliers like the LFR Max Titan Forge, like the Arcano Crystals, like the guy that got, you know, seven gushing wounds before the vendor. You know, those outliers exist and there's no way for us to close that gap. So when the outlier happens that you go and kill a boss every week, the entire tier, and never get the item that you want, and also it never shows up in your great vault. Like, I get the answer that they're giving us is just sucks to be you.
Yeah, but I will say that I'm fine with that answer, right? Because it's not like I'm looking for an RNG roll on top of an RNG roll, right? At this point, I'm looking for a single item to drop exactly as it is for me to be able to use it. I'm not looking for an item to drop, but then also drop with a Titan Forge and also drop with a socket, a tertiary stat if I care, right? Oh, and a corruption that's good. You know what I mean? Like, I think the problem people had with loot previously was that there were a lot of variables that dictated if an item was good versus great.
I'm not even talking about like pre-8.3. So like, this is in 8.3. There's an item that drops off of Raden, the Slapper.
Right.
It doesn't matter, you know, if it drops with anything else. Nobody cares if it drops with a socket or with leech or whatever. The base item on Mythic is what they want. There's no additional variables on it. It's just right. They want that one specific item and nothing else in the game competes with it.
Right, but that's now we're back to best in slot lists, which is perfect. Like, me personally, love it.
I mean, because it gives you something to drive towards, I like that there's a clear abyss. I don't like that, you know, this removes the additional way to say, I want to try to get that this week. All they can really do, if there were a slapper in, you know, Castle Nathria, which, spoiler, mm-hmm. there's not. But if there's a trinket that, you know, is the equivalent kind of thing, there's no real way to say, I really want to try and get that item this week beyond just being in on the boss kill and hoping that you get it. I would like to have seen, like, they don't need to give us something that, you know, increases the quantity of loot. It could be something like, you know, your bonus roll now, instead of giving you a roll on loot, it, you know, makes one of your slots come from that boss in your great vault, or, you know, gives you an extra chance to get loot from that boss in your great vault. You know, there's ways they can do it without giving us extra loot, but also still give us a little bit extra ability to like target the pieces we actually want to get to complete our character.
Yeah. And I mean, I understand that point of view, but at the same time, like, bonus rolls in general, like, the way that I think loot is going to play out in Shadowlands is I don't think that's as big of an issue, because as soon as you get, in your case, as soon as you get a slapper, like, you're done. Like, you don't care if it rolls, it can't roll 5, 10, 15 item level higher, right?
You need two slappers, but yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like, whatever the item ends up being, right, that's far and away better than anything else you could want in that slot. Like, all you have to do is get it. You don't have to get it plus extra stuff, which is, that's my issue, right? And I think that's, bonus rolls in the past have covered that, because you've been able to sort of, you know, increase your chance of getting the item, that single item, week over week. At this point, you're just wanting the item once, and that's it. So I'm fine with, like, taking a step back and basically reverting to how loot was handled previously, which was, like, you get a shot at the boss at killing it, and then, you know, in this case, instead of being able to target a specific boss, you get an additional chance of getting loot from that type of content at the end of the week.
I mean, if they're going to do this to us, they should just give us back Master Looter. Like, because you know what's going to happen. We're going to go into it's going to drop a trinket that people want. I'm going to get it. It's going to be an int trinket, and I'm not going to be able to trade it.
And so that's Well, I agree. Totally different issue, though. Like, I don't like Master Looter.
It is the same kind of issue, though. It's like, we don't... I'm just asking for more control over, like, where the loot goes, who gets which loot. Like, just a little bit more ability to direct the flow of the loot from the bosses to the peoples.
Right, and I get that, but I also see, like, I don't see this doing that beyond just making it you kill a boss once and you get everything you want. Right, like, that's the slippery slope, is if you give too much control... there's less of a need
for a lot of control, though.
Well, I mean, but the ability here is that if they left the Great Vault in plus gave bonus rolls to be able to target specific bosses, like, at a certain, like, you basically increase the rate at which you complete your sort of set, right? Your best in slot list, whatever, however you want to call it, right?
I think that's fine. I don't think that's a problem. I think they're scared of it. I don't think it's a problem.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I think we're probably just...
Yeah, I don't...
I don't want to talk too long on this. I think we just have two different opinions. But, I mean, to be fair, I get your point. I don't know if it's a bad thing that they did it this way. I think that's my position.
At the end of the day, I will absolutely 100% take this over the existing loot system. Like, no doubt about it. This is better on the whole. I'm just really annoyed that they fed us this garbage about it providing the same value when it's like, it definitely does not. Anyway.
Wording wise, probably not the best choice of words. I'll give you that. Yeah, we can agree on that one. Yeah.
Anyway, I think it basically covers everything that happened this week that we've got on our list. You want to hop into our main topic?
Oh yeah, pre-patch overview. I was actually really excited. So I did a bunch of data collection stuff on this or pulled it together. So I'm excited about this. So I think for this section, what we're gonna do is probably just rapid fire. Here's what's changing. We'll spend some time on some of what probably you and I consider the more interesting portions of the changes for pre-patch. But really, this is an overview of what's gonna change in the pre-patch, whether that's October 6th, October, what's the weekend after that? October 13th, one of those Wednesdays. But yeah, this will be things that change in pre-patch. It'll be sort of just focused on that, not the full Shadowlands changes. So to jump into it, the big thing coming up is the level squish. So everybody goes back to level 50. They've sort of readjusted the level curve is now 1 to 60, 60 being max level in Shadowlands. So whenever pre-patch hits, you log in, you will be level 50. Which in turn is cool. It comes with a couple of things, including sort of a revamped leveling experience that launches. So they still have sort of the starter zones available that take you from 1 to 10, you know, based on your race. So if you like blood elves, you still do, you know, the island. You like gnomes or dwarves, you still do sort of their Cold Ridge Valley stuff. So that's still there, but they did add a new 1 to 10 experience on an island. And what is the name of this island? I should have had it up.
Exile's Reach.
Thank you. So yeah, I did that. I think it's really cool. It does a very good job, I think, of onboarding new players, because it sort of walks through, it's class agnostic, right? Any sort of class you pick, you can go through this. But it walks you through the different systems you'll end up seeing in World of Warcraft, right? So it walks you through like using your, well, of course, like moving around, picking up quests, so the basic stuff, but also goes into like map usage, going into caves, understanding like elevation changes while you're in certain things, understanding when objectives are like inside or outside. It goes a little bit at the end into like dungeon queuing and that sort of experience. So, I mean, overall, I don't know. I guess you haven't done it yet, or if you've done it on PCR potentially, but I really enjoyed it. The 1 to 10 experience, it's actually super cool. And hopefully it helps like new players sort of get into the game a little bit easier.
Part of it. I have not done the whole thing, but yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. A lot better. Like if you've done Durotar recently, like Durotar does not hold up. Lost Isles, the Troll Starter Zone holds up better. Some of the older ones do not hold up well. The Blood Elf Zone, for being actually like 18 years old, held up really well. Maybe that's just my nostalgia, but this is sorely needed, because I cannot imagine how many people like start a trial and just like try and play through one of these starter zones and just log out and never log back in, because some of them are really dated.
Yeah, like the Night Elf one is not very good, I'll say. So, but yeah, so this is really cool. I think even if you're not a new player, there is some cool transmog stuff in here. So if you care about that stuff, there's like some high resolution models of some lower level items that are in there. So definitely worth doing at least once to experience, I think.
This is actually, this whole like revamped leveling thing is absolutely the biggest change. Like the biggest thing I'm excited for in pre-patch. This is like my number one, like I'm doing this when pre-patch lands kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so then at level 10, right, to get from level 10 to 50, you basically get to pick any expansion's story. So you can jump in and do, you know, Wrath of the Lich King from 10 to 50. You could do, you know, BC from 10 to 50, you know, whatever, Cataclysm if you're a masochist, because that one sucked. But any of them, like Mists of Pandaria, the best one, which everyone should do. It's way too disjointed. I hated flying around the world in Cata. Like the current world, right? Because all the different zones are everywhere. I was not a fan.
Okay.
But no, I think to your point, this is super cool. You basically get to pick an expansion, go through from start to finish, instead of sort of basically doing the introduction zone to every expansion, because you'd out-level everything else with like heirlooms and you know, things like that by just doing the first zone of any expansion. I think WoD was notorious for like, you'd run around and just do bonus objectives and treasures, and maybe a couple quests in Gorgon, and then you were on to the next, right?
Okay. So. Okay. Speaking of heirlooms, though.
Yes. They are making heirloom changes. And so it's actually super cool. So instead of just providing heirlooms currently, right, are items that sort of you can equip and they will level with you as you level, like the stats will increase and things like that. And pretty much every heirloom had basically a like plus XP modifier on them. So like you gain 10% more XP while wearing the chest piece, and then another 5% for wearing a cloak and things like that. Some of the trinkets just had sort of, you know, stat, or not stat increases, but like resource increases, like the in trinket would give you mana after a kill. The haste trinket would give you health after a kill. But now what they've done is they've changed that, and you get set bonuses with your heirlooms. So basically they added 6-piece set bonuses. I'm going to read through them real quick just so we have it, but it's actually really cool. So your 2-set basically you reduces the amount of rested experience you consume by 30%. So your rested experience will go further. Your four set is out of combat regeneration is increased, which is nice to not have to wait between mobs. Your five piece is you gain a burst of knowledge every time you level, which does damage around you and grants you 40% primary stat for 2 minutes. And if you defeat extra foes, you can extend it by up to an additional 2 minutes, so 4 minutes of 40% primary. And then the six piece is another 30% reduction in rested experience. So change is cool.
Notably, did they also remove the XP bonuses from the items?
They did. So you no longer get additional XP for wearing.
Okay, so
yeah.
I'm going to sound really unreasonably excited about that. I have been like, I have a Reddit post from actually like a decade ago saying heirlooms actually just kind of break the leveling. They should get rid of that. Heirlooms and recruit a friend XP, it all just breaks everything. Please stop it. And 10 years later, here we are. I've been waiting a long time for this. And I think they actually like they kept the spirit of it without actually breaking things, you know. Having your rested XP go farther means that, you know, you can log in every night and your rested XP should actually last the whole way through. So practically, you're going to spend more time with double XP. But it does it in a little bit more of a sane way than the way people would usually do it right now, which is you would put all your heirlooms on a character, log off of it in an inn for 2 weeks, and then log on with basically permanent rested XP.
Yeah, exactly. So it's honestly a great change. It'll make it too. I haven't done leveling on beta at all or on PTR, but I would assume this makes it so you're not just going to skyrocket through. You'll be able to actually experience the story as you would have if you did that expansion story at an appropriate level right when it launched. So, I'm actually also excited. I'll probably level some of the allied races I need just for their heirloom armor based on this. So, not heirloom, sorry. What is it?
Heritage?
Heritage armors, yes, sorry. Yeah.
Okay, so which expansion are you doing?
Mists. Like mists. There's not another choice, is there?
I mean there is. You could do Cataclysm.
Oh god, no. It's awful.
Cataclysm is actually very good, I think. I don't think it's as good as mist, but honestly, I don't want to do the Jade Forest again, so I'm kind of turned off of mists for that reason.
That's fair. But let me get a
word of advice to anybody that decides to do Wrath of the Lich King. Do not do Ice Crown. It sounds like a cool thing, like you're going to go and you're going to do the last zone. Finally, Ice Crown was not designed to be a leveling zone.
Yeah.
Ice Crown was designed to be like Soramar. It's a max level zone. You're not going to be able to complete most of the quest chains because they all end with you killing a rare elite. They will absolutely kick your can. And they're spread out all over the zone. You have to fly around forever. This is the worst zone ever for the fly to a location, click on a thing, fly to the next location, click on a thing. And you only end up with like three quests at the time. It's awful. Don't do it. Do Storm Peaks instead.
Yeah, no, agreed. But no, overall, I think the leveling changes end up making the game probably somewhat easier to get into, so you're not sort of jumping around a lot as a new player. So 1 to 10 get you in, and then at level 10 be able to pick, you know, sort of one consistent story, which I think might help. I think it might break a little bit. I know on beta this was breaking a little bit with, like, if you selected Legion and then got a monk quest to go to the Peak of Serenity for like your XP bonus, right? Or to learn certain things. Peak of Serenity was destroyed.
Right.
In Legion, spoilers if you haven't done that. So there was some weird, I don't know if they ever fixed that, but I know that was some of the early testing that came out. But some a little bit of weirdness with the way this works in terms of like some portions look weird, like some portions of the world end up looking weird. But no, I think it ends up being a really good change. And then along with this, one last final piece is just riding changes. So they changed the way you gain different riding skills. So you basically get a mount at level 10 now instead of level 30, right? Was the previous one?
20.
Or 20, okay. So level 10 now, then you get faster riding at 20, and you get flying at 30, and you get faster flying at 40. And I think they made Draenor and Broken Isle flying just purchasable. So no need to have the appropriate
Pathfinder
achievements.
Dead.
Yeah. So it's riding changes to sort of cross those off from a leveling thing. They've sort of reduced all that.
One more thing I want to add to that as well is some of you will remember the item level squish going into BFA and how it broke a lot in the old world. The Shadowlands leveling changes have been tested a lot more extensively. Like, they've had a bunch of people, players going and leveling through things. There's a warrior that's got it down to like 4 hours or something ridiculous to go from 10 to 50. And it works. You'll be able to hop on right when the patch lands and do this.
Yeah. This is like really exciting. So, I guess then along with the level squish comes the item level squish. So when you log in, also you'll see a lot smaller numbers in terms of both the stats you're getting on gear and the actual damage and healing you'll do. So this is sort of a whole revamp. I don't know if it's down to like original classic vanilla level 60 sort of numbers, but they've definitely sort of scaled everything down, right? In terms of item level. I think now what's the item level going into castle? It's like one something, right? Or just
190 is like pre-raid stuff.
Yeah, so they've sort of brought the item level in general down across the board. So
smaller numbers around like Wrath of the Lich King numbers, actually. Gotcha. As far as like raw HP numbers and stuff like that.
Gotcha. So that's the other, I don't know much to talk about that, but the numbers are smaller. My brain can handle adding them together, so I'm excited about that. Cool. So that's really that. I think that's the sort of the biggest changes that will. Actually, there's a couple other ones, so let's keep going. So we also have character customizations. Not really much to talk about here. If you care about the way your character looks, there's like more color options, more hairstyles, more accessory things that they've added. They made a bunch of changes across the board to just the way you customize your character or what you can customize your character with, which I think is really cool. But the biggest thing actually affects druids more than anyone else in that they're allowing you to specify how your forms look, which I know we talk about monk stuff mostly here, but I think this is really interesting that Blizzard's allowing like you to sort of say, I want my cat form to look like X and I want my bear form to look like Y, you know what I mean? Versus having it influenced by an item you have to equip, right?
This is really nice for druids because it means you can transmog your weapon to look like something while also picking, you know, I want the owl cat feral form and the werebear bear form, and be able to do that. Like, currently you can't do both at the same time because you can only equip one of the items. You have to either equip the Claws of Ursoc and be in bear spec, or equip the Fangs of whatever, the feral artifact transmog, and currently also be feral. And you can't do both because it's, you only have one thing you can transmog. So this just means you're going to be able to actually, for the first time ever, use all of the druid forms that you unlocked in Legion. As a bonus, I think this also unlinks the different colors of the default druid forms from your hair color, which is not really that big of a change, but kind of nice.
This is cool. And it's sort of, it's also affects like the barbershop usage, right? So you don't have to start a character, create a character to do this. The barbershop includes this sort of new UI, new changes, which is nice. You can kind of do it to whatever your max level druid is. The other interesting thing that was added to the barbershop was the ability to change the gender of your character. Like, memes aside, basically getting rid of the paid service that was there to sort of change your character between like male and female or at that point. That's another barbershop update along with all the other different customizations. They've added. So good. I think some good changes there. It kind of gives you more choice. So if you care about what your character looks like, which I don't, because transmog is dumb. At least that's my stance.
You're giving away a free 10% extra healing.
That's true, just from looking cool.
Yeah.
And then kind of on the same track of customization, they did make some transmog updates. So I think wands, the big one, not big one, but some of the big ones are like wands can now be transmogged to one-handers appropriate to your spec. So, you know, warlocks, priests, mages, some other class that can use wand that I'm forgetting, can now transmog their wands into one-handers. And then the big thing, though, is that Legion artifacts can now be transmogged across your spec. So that means that as a Mistweaver, I can now transmog a staff into the Brewmaster staff if I wanted to, right? Which I think is cool, because I actually think some of the Brewmaster legendaries look really cool, some of the styles. Similarly, if I have like a one-hander as a Brewmaster, I can transmog that one-hander into one of the Windwalker Fists weapons or one of their Legion artifacts. So interesting there. You're also allowed to mix match your main hand and offhand transmogs if you using legendaries. So if you want to use like the fist, like Hulk fist legendary in your main hand from a Windwalker perspective, and like, I don't know, the bad ones in your offhand, you can. So,
hey man, or if you want two different colored fists. Really badly.
Oh, it's so good. I love it.
It's really good. It's probably the one I'll use if I end up using one-handed weapons, but Eclipse really bad.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. So
this is really actually notable for warriors. So Fury warriors get single-minded fury back, which means they can dual wield one-handers. Now they can transmog stuff cross spec. So Fury warriors can dual wield the protection challenge artifact flail, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so there'll be some cool transmogs coming out. I don't know how much monks will get to like enjoy it, right? But at least for some of the other classes, a lot of this stuff seems really fun. So
yeah, this is just a really like straight up great quality of life change. You know, like you said, monks aren't going to get a ton out of it, but you know, if you're a Windwalker and you end up with a two-hander, now you can use a Brewmaster artifact weapon skin. And same way, you know, if I'm a Brewmaster and I end up with dual wielding one-handers, now I can use the Windwalker ones. It's there's really no downside here.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's super cool. So that's sort of the transmog stuff. A couple of quick hitters. I don't know if we will need to spend too much time on these next ones, but a couple of profession updates. They basically now you can craft any item at any eye level and basically use it.
So, old world item, right?
Old world, yeah. So all the old world crafted items, there's now an additional reagent you could use. It's called like Relics of the Past, that lets you either lower or raise the item level of the old world crafted item. So if for whatever reason you're into crafting and you want to have a gear set made by you that you might be able to use sort of leveling up or whatever, they've added sort of that ability in there with these sort of Relics of the Past. There's five or six different ones that put the item at different sort of like level requirements and things like that.
This is their solution to like right now, for those that haven't paid a lot of attention to crafting in BFA, every expansion has its own like crafting skill progression. So you could, if you were to in Shadowlands, if you were to pick Mists of Pandaria as the expansion you're doing, and you went in with skinning leatherworking, you would get Mists of Pandaria skins from the stuff that you skin. And you would craft Mists of Pandaria items using leatherworking. This is their solution to allow those to scale through all the different levels, regardless of kind of when you go in.
Yeah.
So you can just throw in this Relics of the Past. Like if you're level 24 in Mists of Pandaria, you can throw in a Relic of the Past that makes your item, you know, appropriate for level 24. And craft it, even though originally it would have been for, you know, a level 87 character.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely maybe more of like a quality of life change, right? To make those things continue to be relevant. So, so that's there. And then allied races, they've removed the rep requirements for allied races. So now it's just, there's a sort of an achievement associated to each one of these. Generally, they're going to be the like the zone or race equivalent achievement, right? So like, for example, to do Void Elf or Lightforge Draenei, you need to complete basically the Argus campaign in Legion. For like High Mountain Tauren, you need to complete the High Mountain storylines in, what was the name of their zone? I forget.
High Mountain.
Oh, okay.
It's so obvious. It's really easy to look past.
I feel okay. Anyway, moving on. So you just have to complete the an achievement associated to it, and you unlock it. No more rep grinds, which I think is, I mean, a good thing, right? If you want to if you haven't unlocked those yet, you can target them like as you level up, basically.
The one major outlier there, as far as not being able to target it, are two major outliers. Nightborn requires doing Suramar, which realistically you're not going to do while you're leveling, and then getting Zandalari Troll on the Horde side and Kul Tiran on the Alliance side requires doing the war campaign in BFA, which you can get parts of done while you are leveling, but there's a lot more kind of after you hit level 50. So it's another one you're going to have to actually do quests after you hit cap, but again, way, 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 way better than the rep grind.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so that's it's another quality of life change, man. I think they're doing a lot of those, which I think is fun. Man, letting people sort of get back to what they want, so.
You remember, it's really great to see how far they've come on this since the beginning of BFA. You remember when the war campaign in patch 8.0 was rep gated?
I do, actually. You'd unlock it as you got more rep with, like, what is the honor? I was Horde, so it was like with the honor.
Yeah, bound. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sucked.
Yeah. Because if you miss dailies, man, like, I remember, or not dailies, but like world quests were like so important in like those contracts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, maybe it applies to other areas. I don't know. We'll see if moving forward, if we see other changes like this for current content, but at least looking back, I think it's cool. And then one, I don't know if this really matters. I just picked this up as we were looking through, is they've added the ability for like unicorn mounts, they've been termed, basically like a lot of the horse mounts, can now fly in pre-patch or in Shadowlands. So like Lucid Nightmare gets to fly, a lot of the honor mount horses, you know, rewards get to fly. So some other just mounts can now fly type of thing. So I think Lucid Nightmare is probably the key one for me, because I actually think that mount would be cool. So
I still, if only the
oh, come on. That's, the secret stuff's so cool to me. I don't like figuring it out, but like I like reading about how people figure it out. I'm like, damn, this guy's crazy.
You know, maybe I'll go do that tonight, actually.
Yeah, it's not too bad. And then finally, of course, with pre-patch comes new spells and new talents, which we've ad nauseum, I think, talked about a lot of this stuff earlier in some of the earlier podcasts. But I mean, big hitters, like if you don't know your new talents, read something. Ask in Discord, right? I think Wowhead, Icy Veins, any of the sites will have up, you know, their new talent calculators. Check them out. You know, I think there's changes to pretty much every spec.
Yeah, if the pre-patch hits this Tuesday, Peak will not have guides ready. Sorry. If it comes this Tuesday, the guides won't be ready, because that would honestly blindside us. But anytime after that, we should have some pre-patch guides up on Peak of Serenity that are like, okay, here's, you know, good talents as a starting point. We are not going to be doing the full, like, here's your optimal rotation and everything for pre-patch. It just takes too much work for content that's going to last 3 weeks and is probably going to be horrendously tuned anyway. So, however, I don't think any spec for monks is actually that different as far as like rotation.
Nah. I mean, Mistweaver gets a 3-minute cooldown. That's about it.
Yeah, and Brewmaster gets a new quirk in the rotation because Blackout Strike moves to a 4-second cooldown from a 3-second cooldown, but that's about it.
Yeah. Some minor updates. Perspective. Yeah. Some minor updates, but yeah, new spells, new talents will be live as always, because it is now 9.0. in the building. So cool. I think that's everything. I don't know. Did you have anything I might have missed in terms of the new system stuff?
No. This is honestly, it's really, really easy when talking about Shadowlands to get really hyper-focused on covenants and endgame systems and forget about the rest of the game. All of this stuff that they're doing to the rest of the game is fantastic. I am legitimately very, very excited for this. I think I've said before, like, leveling is one of my favorite parts of the game. Probably, like, leveling and raiding are my two favorite things in WoW. So the leveling revamp has me unreasonably excited.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that I enjoy leveling the first time for sure. My problem is that I cannot go back and do Hellfire, whatever that. What's the first zone of BC?
You can skip it now. You could actually skip
But every time I start to level, I'm just like, I know in about, 30, 40 levels, I'm going to have to walk through that portal. And I remember walking through that portal, 12, 14 years ago, and like red sand everywhere. I feel like
Anakin. Can like not even go to BC right now. You can go to Wrath of the Lich King instead, which I don't know if you want to be stuck in the boring tundra again either, but it is an option. One thing I don't think we really mentioned earlier about the level squish and the leveling changes. The amount of time it is going to take to level is getting reduced dramatically, which is fantastic because right now it takes forever. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I think you mentioned, like it said, like somebody's gotten it down to maybe like 4 or 5 hours. So
yeah. And I wouldn't expect most people to be doing level. It fast. Yeah. I don't think anybody except like Thesmophisto, who is the warrior in question, is going to be doing it that fast. It's going to be a lot faster.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited. So cool. That's everything that's new. So what is going away with pre-patch?
Corruption is going away. Sorry, I can't
line up for that.
Corruption is gone. It's dead.
Can't
hurt you anymore. There's no more slow, no more waifu from beyond. All of it's gone.
Yeah. So that is the big system that is gone as of pre-patch. So no more corruption, no more sort of balancing it, no more caring about, staying under 39 or being a psycho and going to 100, right? Corruption out of it. We'll get to it. I have a comment on that. But yeah, great thing. No more corruption. No more gushing wounds. No more stacking a single stat because none of the procs are good for you, like Mistweaver. Corruption out of here. There's also a couple of cutting edge sort of achievements. So cutting edge, of course, goes away with pre-patch. Hard mode Mechagon, the achievement there is gone. The five mass solo visions title and achievement are removed. And then the Brontosaur AH mount is also being removed. So
have you gotten a Brutus one yet?
No, I haven't. I don't. I have like 3 million gold. I'm not going to make it.
I got mine 2 or 3 weeks ago. I got some guildies. I was talking about it and I had like 4.75 million gold. And I was really close to it. And I was like, if pre-patch comes on Tuesday, this was about a month ago that I got it actually. But if pre-patch comes in 2 weeks, I'm just not going to get it. And they were like, okay, we're going to give you gold so you can get it. You can pay us back. So I got my Brutosaur. I'm real happy.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I don't really need it. I mean, I'm fine running around and going to the AH. I get to see the world. I'm more of a, I don't need everything at my fingertips, I don't need bonus rolls to make sure I get the specific item in a week versus three. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, no, so that AH mount out of here. But notably, Azerite armor and essences are still in the game. So while corruption is leaving us, Azerite armor and essences are still going to be active for pre-patch, which means with corruption gone, Heart of Darkness is no longer usable. So get ready to reforge if you're using Heart of Darkness, because you're not going to be able to keep that.
I'm using three copies of Heart of Darkness.
Yeah, so that's, I think that was the one big thing I had, was that with Azurite Armor not going away, but Corruption going away, Heart of Darkness is essentially dead as a Azurite trait.
Are you ready for our new Holy Paladin Overlords?
Oh, God, no.
Three copies of, I don't even remember the trait's name. God, what's it called?
Glimmer?
Glimmer. Three copies of Glimmer on Azurite. Glimmer as a talent.
God.
Also, yeah. Vop. They're going to be having a grand old time in pre-patch, and then get slapped once they move into Shadowlands and lose that Azurite. But you know, in pre-patch they're going to have a great time.
Yeah. No. Yeah. They'll be excited for about 3 weeks, and then the rug pulled out of their feet until say like 9.1 when. Whatever Glimmer 2.0 goes into the game, the Blizzard doesn't really understand, and they become, you know, literal gods again. So, you know, we'll just we get our 3-4 months of reprieve, like we do. It's sort of been a theme, I think, the first tier of every expansion. Paladin hasn't been out of control, and then, you know, Blizzard remembers they're the, you know, the chosen ones, and you know they give them what they want. So, not at all jaded about Holy Paladins.
So. One other thing I did want to mention as well, with the level squish and the item level squish, the Nyalotha and all the dungeons are obviously going to be retuned. Corruption has been really changing how Nyalotha functioned as an instance by giving us so much extra damage that we wouldn't otherwise have. We do not know how the tuning is going to be. You cannot get into Nyalotha on PTR or on beta. It's closed. It won't let you enter. We don't know if it's going to be functional the first week of pre-patch or even the second or third week of pre-patch. When the item level squish happens during BFA pre-patch, in combination with the tank changes that removed tank magic mitigation, several bosses in Antorus became totally unkillable or functionally unkillable. I remember the second boss in the instance was went from a 2-tank boss to a 4-tank boss because of how hard it hit. Yep. So we don't have as far-reaching changes as what happened to tanks during 8.0, thankfully. But again, like, kind of be mindful, if you raid on Tuesday, you might not actually get to kill very many bosses.
Yeah, so well, that first day, I think... I would say like my raid's going to not raid that day, but I'm currently raidless. But yeah, I mean, I would assume a lot of people aren't going to make too much progress that first Tuesday, unless they just literally nerf the instance into the ground, at which point.
I would not be surprised if they did. Like, Corruption has already kind of functionally done it. And with the removal of Cutting Edge, like, they could remove a lot of the damage and healing checks from stuff like Nissoth, and the mechanics check is still going to mean that you cannot pug it. So...
Right, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, so I mean it's that's one thing I don't think none of us know how that's going to play out, just that in pretty much every pre-patch the game, the current raid tier, whatever the final raid tier was, has been, you know, sort of broken in different ways. I remember in BC the pre-patch going into Wrath, right? Was that the one after B or not? Yeah, BC and Sunwell. I remember walking in, and we had been on Kill Jaden for probably like 3 or 4 weeks at that point, and walking in the day of pre-patch, one-shotting every boss and then two-shotting Kill Jaden. Nice. So it's either going to be something like that, or, you know, we'll see super buggy stuff like we saw on Antorus, where, you know, effectively bosses become extremely hard. So
yeah, and there's also, even though stuff like the Brutosaur goes away with pre-patch, the Nissoth mount and I believe the Jaina mount are still guaranteed drops until Shadowlands actually launches, at which point they will become 1% drops like previous expansions raid mounts. So you will still have a couple more weeks to try and get your Nyalotha All-Seer or your Glacial, I don't remember the name of that one from Jaina, before they become
the better of the two mounts, we'll say.
Better shots, yeah.
The better mount, the Jaina mount's by far one of the best mounts they've put in the game.
Okay, but the Nihilotha one is actually one of the like most unique mounts in the game, not just a reskin of the Shaman mount.
Okay,
not fair. To say like the Jaina mount's great, but also the Nizoth mount is like very distinctive.
It's just ugly though. It's distinctively
okay.
Ugly.
You're talking to someone that rode around the entirety of patches 8.0, 8.1, and part of 8.2 with the Argus mount. Do not talk to me about ugly.
Fair enough. Awesome. Any other topics? I think the final topic or final thing we wanted to go through is just the actual event itself. So anything else before we head into that one?
No, I think that about covers it.
Cool. So now we're on to the pre-patch event itself. So I think we mentioned earlier it's a 2-week event. So on the shorter side, I think what BFA was like 3 or 4 weeks, Legion similar. But yeah, this is another Scourge invasion. So if you remember potentially Nax 40 when that launched, that patch had a little Scourge invasion going into it. Of course, Wrath of Lich King, more Scourge invaded. And now today, in the pre-patch, the Scourge is coming back to Orgrimmar and Stormwind City for a third time. Maybe third time's a charm. I don't know. Essentially, though, our capital cities, Stormwind, Orgrimmar, are under attack by the Scourge. They have their zombies. They're everywhere. They have, you know, different sorts of abilities. They attack in waves. Just an event. We're under attack. And along with that, there is sort of a quest chain involved. So it's a 2-week event. The first part of the quest chain basically has us trying to figure out what happened to our leaders. Anduin, Jaina, they've been abducted. You know, Bane, Thrall, also abducted of your horde. So, you know, first week of the quest basically has us sort of working with the Argent Crusade. Our boys in, they wear white, right?
Yeah.
The Argent Crusade is back. They kind of help us sort of understand, all right, what's happening? Where are they? We eventually land in Ice Crown at the end of it and sort of establish a foothold in Ice Crown with the Argent Crusade around the Argent Tournament. To start to understand what's going on with the Scourge, why they're attacking and things like that, what happened. And then from there, you know, that's the first week we sort of end with that sort of like, what's going to happen next, right? Where do we go from there? And then week two is essentially we sort of get deeper into that investigation and eventually end with killing, what is this individual's name? Killing Harold Delora, who basically is the jailer's like herald, letting us know that he's coming, or we've sort of broken the barrier between us and the Shadowlands. But the biggest thing here is we now unlock portals between Orgrimmar and Stormwind when you complete week two. So that's the more important part. I don't care about the story, as you can tell. but yeah, so that's like the 2-week event. Essentially, it's number one, figuring out what happened, like the jailer's forces attacked or the Scourge attacked at the whim of the jailer, right? Trying to figure out what's going on there. Leaders get lost, find them at the end of week one. Week two is sort of establishing that foothold and really understanding why the Scourge is attacking. Along with all of this, there's a quest chain. You unlock dailies and world quests in Ice Crown. Week two unlocks more dailies, more world quests, as sort of has been the MO of Blizzard with events like this, right? Limited number in week one, more in week two. And basically, everything you do rewards a Argent Commendation, which is a new currency, which of course they would do this. And that new currency allows you to buy new transmog items, a pet, and I don't think it's a toy, but it's some sort of like broom item that does some stuff. So that's sort of the event. Sort of kind of introducing like what happened at Ice Crown, right? With the crown sort of breaking apart and the portal of the Shadowlands like opening up for us to be able to run through. But yeah, biggest thing for those who care, I really is probably other than people who care about the story, sorry to discredit you guys. I believe you're out there and you're real. but the Transwalk stuff is there. Basically it's Alliance and Horde. and four different versions depending on armor type. So I don't think it looks that good. It kind of looks like just typical
PvP gear with some reductions to the helm and shoulder slots.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I'll probably end up, because I'm a sucker, and if there's a daily to do, I have to do it. If there's something I collect, I have to collect it. So I'll probably end up doing the leather version just to have it on the monk, right? Some sort of a completionist like that. But yeah, I mean, the event itself, it didn't seem like there was too many. I ran through it once early, had a couple of bugs with it, but just in terms of like progression. But I mean, it seemed like just a very straightforward sort of pre-patch event, right?
Yeah.
Nothing too crazy, I'll say. Like, not like, I remember BC when like the pre-patch event for BC when like the infernals and stuff would rain down randomly, and I was like, oh man, that's crazy. Or like even the Scourge invasion, right, with like the crates in Stormwind and Orgrimmar, like, you know, things would spawn out of them and everything like that. So
they did learn a lesson from the Scourge invasion the first time around, though.
Well, yeah, the debuff.
New players coming out of Exile's Reach have immunity to the Scourge, meaning that they will not instantly be murdered by other players in the capital cities.
Exactly. Yeah, so I guess that's one good thing. They learn their lesson, so you can actually continue to level up and don't get killed by level whatever these are, like probably 40 or 50 mobs. So
one other thing that I want to mention, because you know, loot's great and all, but eye level is temporary, bag slots are forever. There is a new bag that drops from one of the rare mobs that can spawn. It is a 34 slot bag.
That is right. I forgot about that.
Very large bag, and those currently are fairly expensive to buy on the auction house. I have 32 slot bags. I don't know if 34 slot bags even exist. I think they do. Anyway, they're very large. You can only use one per character, but especially for like alts and things, that's definitely worth going and trying to find that rare and kill it, because it's a real big bag and you will use it forever.
That's true. And I guess I forgot about that, is that, yeah, the rare mobs that are spawning in Icecrown are basically various bosses from the Icecrown or Naxx instances, right? So like Professor Putrescide is back. Love that boss fight. Patchwork back, of course. The Black Knight is back from that was one of the five mans that was in Wrath. Lady Deathwhisper, the vampire boss, right? From Icecrown. So yeah, a bunch of those guys are back as sort of rare mobs around Icecrown that you can go and kill. And yeah, I think who is it? Who drops the actual bag? I forget.
I'm clicking through everything now to figure it out. Here we go. Bronjom? I don't know.
The Forge of Souls boss. Yes.
Yep. He drops Papa's mint condition bag, which is a 34 slot unique bag. So if you see that guy, go tag him. Definitely try and get that. You're not guaranteed to get it, but best of luck.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that is the new bosses, like the rares being there is kind of cool, but I think other than the transmog stuff and that bag, there's not really too much left.
I'm honestly okay with that, though. Like, I think having a small pre-patch event is fine, given that we also have all of the leveling changes. Like,
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
it's going to be like, okay, I'm going to go and do the pre-patch event on one or two characters, depending on how much I really want that bag, and then level characters, and I won't have to spend a ton of time on the pre-patch event, and that's great.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Cool. Yeah, I don't think there's anything else out of it. other than it's short, so I mean they could really push back actually doing pre-patch until like the middle of October and still make the date. So
please don't.
You just want corruption gone at this point.
I mean, I also kind of want, I expect there to be a bunch of bugs that get found when they release it, because the beta population and PTR population combined is nothing close to the live population.
Yeah, I mean, but everybody gets beta, so I mean, it's, I mean, it's close. Sorry.
Entering the like Wowhead and Sloopbag and a couple other people's giveaways on Twitter, right?
Oh, nice.
Didn't win any of them, but I did enter them.
It sucks. That sucks. Oh, man. Hey, man, you still got a couple more weeks. Maybe we'll get in, you know?
I'm not even trying at this point. Like, in a couple, by the time, if I were to get lucky and get one, it would be like next week. And by that point, pre-patch is out and I don't care anymore.
That's true. You've already got everything you need at that point. So, all right, cool. Any other pre-patch news items, anything like that, before we jump into questions?
No, I don't. I think we covered pretty much everything.
Cool. Awesome. All right, so now it's question time. So, as always, if you guys have questions, you can always reach out to either myself, Anomaly, or Emelson on Discord, and let us know. We pretty much take any question at this point. So as long as it's somewhat relevant and we can answer it on air, you know, we'll take anything. I think we talked about beans at one point earlier. So if you got questions, just let us know. We got a couple this week. They're two pretty interesting ones. So the first one comes from Azzy. And they ask, what are our thoughts on the pre-patch build being reverted from release to test? And then when do we think pre-patch will be released now? So this is probably something we missed in the news up front, but they did push a build to both PTR and beta, Friday night this week, that reverted the release client designation on PTR, basically removed it. So it's no longer a release client. There's a small patch. I don't think there was any changes really data mined from like a spell or anything like that, but just that it was the release candidate like tagging was removed from the current PTR build. So that's what,
from a software perspective, I'm sure you're probably also familiar with this. And that probably just means they found a bug in the client itself. And so that client is now, you know, maybe it's a graphical glitch that crashes the client, maybe it's something else, but they found a bug that means that that version of the client is definitely no longer going to be the one that gets released. And that's probably all that means.
Right. Or my theory is that they screwed up merging changes between PTR and beta, and they merged some beta changes that just didn't have the release client tagging on it. And then pushed it. But no, I don't think it, I mean, I don't think this affects the ultimate release. I think they have a date they want to hit, you know what I mean, with when they want to get pre-patch out, changing what this is. Unless, I mean, to be fair, unless to your point, it was actually client breaking or, you know, has some major impacts in terms of them completing what they need to complete for pre-patch. I don't think there's an effect on the release date. I think it's still, everybody points to October 6th. I think it's still October 6th. Just based on the news, right? I think this week coming up is highly unlikely, and I think pushing it beyond the 6th runs it too close to Shadowlands release. So
I would agree with that. I would be okay if it came out in 3 days or whatever it is from when we're recording this. It would kind of be really surprising, though. I wouldn't be unhappy, but I would be surprised.
Yeah, no, true. I could give or take when it is. The 6th maybe gives me a little bit more time to find some people to play with, but I'm fine either way. All right, so next question and really final question is from Anyan, I believe is how you pronounce that. He's Australian. And it asks, or he asks, what are our thoughts about Monk's Communication, and Treatment in the weeks building up to pre-patch. So I think there's a little bit of a connotation here, a little bit of an underpinning of the fact that, you know, Blizzard put out really the first big blue post for us. It was like, here's everything we're changing, we're adding. I think the Celestial changes for Mistweaver when that one, you know, there was kind of talk and lots of information across all three of the specs, right, of things they're trying to do, letting us know they're listening to us, and then ending it with, you should see more changes in the coming weeks, right? That was like maybe not six weeks ago, but it was a while ago. We went probably 3 or 4 weeks without any sort of communication and then got a blue post this week. So yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I think Emerson, you and I have talked about this. Communication currently is not one of Blizzard's strong suits. They're not good at it. I would say they are actually terrible at it. They're not consistent across messaging, across classes, even across the game in terms of systems, right? So yeah, I mean, I don't think our treatment as a class is any different than any other area of the game Blizzard treats in reference to the way they communicate, right?
And I think like in a little bit of fairness to the people that work at Blizzard, like what it looks like from the outside is that they're under insane pressure from someone high up to hit a very aggressive release date. And right. Communicating effectively takes time. There's no matter how good you are at it, it still takes time. And that is time that they probably feel like they need to actually be able to release on time. And I don't right. think that's like something we can pin on the developers as much as I would love more clear communication. I think they're just like, there are other issues going on that are preventing it happening. They haven't had good communication with us in a long time.
Right.
But exactly. I think right now it's like extra bad for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rock and a hard place, right? Because they've got to get stuff done. They can't spend the time to turn around and sort of respond. And then when they do respond, it's always like, well, they wrote a post to Rogues, but what about Shaman? Or what about, you know what I mean, this part? Or, hey, what's this lore item doing? You know what I mean? Or why, like, why did DK start at level 8 now instead of level 6 or whatever it is, right? So, I think it's just they've got a lot on their plate. They got a lot to get done for a game that I think in general people don't think is ready. So letting us know what their thoughts are is like, they're probably thinking of these things and implementing them in a day. And there's not enough time to then like turn around and say like, oh, we are doing this and here's why. It's just, we're just going to do it and people will figure it out. Right. So it's just a bad situation on both sides. So
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
My thoughts are it sucks, but I understand why it sucks in the context of what I think Blizzard is sort of under in terms of the development team. So,
also, I think you pronounced his name wrong.
What? How? It's not
Onion. You gotta pronounce it like you're from the South. It's Onion.
Onion. He's Australian, so it's like he's Australian, so it's like the blooming onion.
What is Australia, Anam?
Outback Steakhouse.
South.
I guess in the world. Okay. I just thought it was upside down. So
it's also that, but it's also south.
That's fair. But yeah, now I really want to bloom an onion from Outback, which by the way, so a quick aside, a little bit more on the personal side is, so I have a cousin who, her husband is Australian. And the first time I ever met him, me and my friends got a bloom an onion from Outback. Because at the time, I thought it was funny. Because I was like, haha, like you, Bloomin' Onion from like where you're from. He had no idea what it was. We literally had to look up a commercial and show it to him about what an Outback Steakhouse was.
Yep.
Oh, it was real bad. But yeah, so onion. I can't do accents. Or I can't even pronounce basic words. Like accents are far beyond my reach. But yeah, thank you for the questions. I think, you know, this has been a pretty good episode, covered a lot sort of pre-patch stuff, but I mean, keep them coming, guys. If you have other questions, you know, of course, reach out. Like I said, Emelson or myself, Anomaly, on Discord, on Twitter, we're there too. I don't think we post our Twitters, but he can find us. I mean, just ask him.
Discord. I can post our Twitters. Do you think we should? We could.
Heck yeah, dude. I need to get to like 150 followers. I'm going to start my influencer campaign.
All right, let's do that.
No, kidding. But yeah, I think that's it for this episode. I think we covered it all.
Yeah, I think that about wraps it up. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want to support it and all the other work that goes on at the Peak of Serenity, you can do that over on Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. As always, we really, really appreciate your support, both financial through Patreon and, you know, just from coming in and hanging out in the Discord and having a chat. Yeah, thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.